Hello and welcome back to the Movie Thoughts Podcast. I am your host, Dominic Tartamella, and this is a little bit of a, not really a special episode. This is episode 110, nothing out of the ordinary here, but this is a little bit of a late night episode. I'm recording this episode a little past midnight, a spooky time, kind of a Halloween episode without it being Halloween. And aptly, we are doing the film, the new horror film, Late Night with the Devil, which it was very fitting. Very fitting to see this because I've been wanting to see this. It's been getting a lot of hype. The film stars David Melchin. I never pronounced this guy's name right. You know, he's popped up in everything from Dark Knight. Some of his early roles, he was in Dark Knight. And then over the years, he popped up in Prisoners. He's scrolling down. And then, of course, he's been in Ant-Man, Blade Runner 2049, the other Ant-Man sequels. He's popped up in a little bit of everything. The Suicide Squad, he was Polka Dot Man, he's in Dune. The list goes on. But, you know, this is the first movie I've really seen him in, that he's the lead main actor. I've always liked him. He's good at playing kooky characters. Fun little fact, I remember it was definitely after Dark Knight, because I knew who he was, but it was like before he was really big. I saw him walking around my local mall. I'm in the New York area, and I saw him, and I was like, oh shit. And like, I didn't go up to him because I just felt like, I was like, I don't know, should I go up to him? He wasn't so notable then, but I recognized him from the Dark Knight. Obviously, he's the wacky guy that, you know, works with the Joker and kind of gets framed, and Harvey Dent's going to blow him away flipping a coin. But anyway, Late Night with the Devil, really cool concept, right? The trailers have been selling this. It is, Das Mulchen plays a host of a 70s talk show, and he's doing a Halloween special. Some creepy stuff's going to go down because there's maybe a girl possessed by the devil. They're bringing her in. They're bringing this guy who talks to dead people in. There's all this fun stuff. This movie wasn't playing, so the thing about this movie is that I think next month it's going to Shudder. Which Shudder's a great horror app if you haven't used it. They got the Creepshow on there. They have Joe Bob Briggs on there doing his movie marathons. And they got a slew of horror movies on there. So this movie's supposed to go to Shudder in April. But it is in like limited theaters. I was going to shoot out to Jersey today and go see it. And then I realized that it was playing like one. There's a theater by me that is playing one time slot for the next few nights, 10:30 p.m. So I said, you know what? Fuck it, right? This is the perfect movie to see at 10:30 p.m. Me and my wife are like two old people, though. Like, it's Saturday night, and I'm ready to go to bed. Like, by 9 o'clock, I'm falling asleep. So I had to kind of, this is really going to sound like I'm 100 years old. I had to take, like, a nap beforehand, and then I had to, like, fill myself with some caffeine to get through the movie beforehand, so I wouldn't, like, you know, go to sleep. But anyway, this movie's an hour and a half, so it flies by. And as I said, the setup is that he is the host of a 70s show. Some shit goes down. Now, the cool thing they do, if you've seen the trailers, is this, like, really looks like it's ripped out of a television set from the 70s or the 80s. And it feels, it's that late night vibe. It is shot, like, it has it's not widescreen, you know, so you're going to watch it. It's like a full frame, just like you'd see it on TV. In the beginning of the movie, they explain things, they fill you in, almost like a documentary. Like, the first 10 minutes of the movie, might have been less than that, they kind of fill you in on who the character is, who the host is, the show. They put it, this fictional show, that it was up against the Johnny Carson Tonight Show back in the day, and that was his main competitor, and they fill you in on some stuff. I got a little worried in the beginning of the movie because I was like, is this going to be like, I didn't know how the movie was actually going to play out, so I got a little worried that it was going to be like a documentary kind of style, but I'm glad to say that it was what I originally thought it was going to be, and that's just like, in real time, the episode of the show. And that's the cool thing. So once they get that shit out of the way, it's literally like you're watching this on late night. I mean, I was like, this is, first of all, say it right from the start. Like, really love this movie. I thought it was a really creepy movie. I thought they really utilized that atmosphere and made it feel like an old show. There's a lot of like humor that doesn't land, that's from that time, that's just stupid, cheesy kind of television jokes. Des Melchin is fucking awesome in this. He's different from what I've ever, from any movie I've ever seen him in. Like, he's like, as I said, he's the main focus, but he has a tendency of playing like little weirdo characters. Obviously, I said Prisoners, Dark Knight, and this is probably like the most normal role I've seen him in. And obviously, normal is take that loose lightly because there's stuff going on, but you know he has that, obviously, that darkness in him and behind his eyes, and there's more to this movie that I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to. This is a movie that is 100% not getting spoiled in this podcast. Go watch this movie. The best way to enjoy this movie is to just let it all be fresh. You know, I seen a couple of trailers and I knew the rough outline. I heard some of the reviews and what people were saying about it, and I was like, oh, I'm amped. You know, it looks creepy, and it lives up to that. You know, they take their time with it. There's some stuff that happens in the beginning where they're hinting, but it literally plays out like a talk show. Like, it's like if you were watching an episode of Conan O'Brien. And all this shit happened, you know, except like, you know, obviously set in the 70s, an old episode. And they present it in a way that, like, these are the lost tapes, and that's cool. They also do something cool where, so anytime they go to commercial break, with keeping the real time, you know, nature of it, the shots go to black and white, and then they show what's going on before they come back to commercial break. So if characters are having conversations, and so you get that almost as like a bonus, and then when it goes back on the air, it's back to being that style, that 70s style. And oh man, I just loved it. This is a movie that's definitely gonna be a movie I rewatch 100% like around Halloween. I mean, I'm fantasizing about having like a little old-fashioned television set and watching it on this because it probably looks amazing on something like that. Really creative, the things they do in this. Trying to be light on spoilers. You know, when I start like hesitating that and saying a lot, that I'm trying to be light on spoilers. I don't want to ruin anything. There's a nice amount of practical effects in here. You could tell, obviously, there's probably some CGI for certain stuff. As CGI is always cool to be used. You know, it's I like the mix of CGI and practical effects, and this movie definitely had that. There's some bloody stuff, there's some cool stuff, and it doesn't. It's funny because like whatever they kind of play with your expectations a little bit in this movie. There's certain things they set up, and you think that this is gonna happen, and then something completely different happens. And like as I said, go into this movie and try to go in with as little information as possible because I think I was with an audience that had that knowledge, like that they don't know what was coming. And when it goes batshit crazy, it's great. It's great because you just don't know what's coming. This movie's directed by Colin Clarence and Cameron Clarence. I don't know. I can't click them right now. I can't click them on Wikipedia. I'm not going to go IMDb them right now, but usually a pay something would come up. I don't know if it's a couple. I don't know if it's brother and sister, brother and brother. I don't know what it is, but they do a good job with this film. This probably their first thing because like I said, I can't click it. Other cast members: Laura Gordon, Ian Bliss, Felicia Bazzi. Everybody's good. It feels like everybody feels of that time, and you know. It, as I said, it's presented in that way. It doesn't feel like a movie. It feels like you're watching something, just a Halloween episode, you know. There's been a little bit of controversy, if you've been following the movie. There's like little title cards that when they go in and out of commercial, especially, and I think maybe the main logo, because the show is called like Night Owl. Night Owls, I'm sorry, with the host. What is the host's name? Jack Delroy. So Night Owls with Jack Delroy. And there's been some controversy because the some of those title cards are created by AI. And it, like, somebody figured it out a couple of months ago, I feel like. And this movie's been around for a little bit. It was in, I think it was in South by Southwest, and it's been around for quite some time. But now, like, there's some people on Twitter I've seen, they're like, oh, boycott this movie. You know how the fucking internet is. You get your people that are just, they get very, you know, they have strong opinions, and they just want to jam everything down your throat. And there's people saying, oh, boycott the movie. I saw one guy ranting the other day, and he's like, oh, if you want to go see that movie, go buy a ticket to this movie. And then if you want to support, you know, the performances and praise it on social network, like, just shut the fuck up. I gotta say, just shut the fuck up, because I listen, I am completely in agreement with the whole AI thing and how, like, listen, you don't want it to steal jobs and art. Listen, should they have hired an artist to do these? Abso-fucking-lutely. But it's a low budget movie. It's a low budget horror movie. IFC, whatever the fucking Shutter, you know, Umbrella Entertainment. It's low budget. So did they cut corners? I'm sure. They're so small. This art that's featured in this movie, this AI art, is such a small part of this movie that, like, did they overlook it? I'm sure. Did they think it wasn't going to be a big deal? Also, this movie's filmed a couple years ago, whatever it is. There wasn't, you know, as much of a conversation as there is now. But to go and to fucking say, oh, we're going to boycott the movie because this is ridiculous, and you know, we got to. I get it. I get it. I get where you're coming from. I write, you know, AI is a scary thing. You know, if they could snap their fingers and just have a screenplay or a novel, that's alarming. But what are you supposed to do? You're gonna hurt, you know, you're gonna hurt a film, a small film, and everybody that else that worked on it because they didn't hire you. You know, or they didn't hire, because I see people, they've made their own versions, you know, alternate versions of the art, and they're like, oh, see, I whipped this up, and they could have, you know, it's over. It's over. I think it's noted. I know that I think Des Melchin was in an interview recently, and it was brought up. And I'm sure, listen, I'm sure the directors have heard about it at this point. I think the lesson's going to be learned, because they probably hear about it, and maybe a DVD release, they replace it. I don't know if they're gonna, but now it's just like, I don't think that's the right way to handle it. There's other ways. You know, you're being heard. People who are, you know, artists, and they want to fucking protest it, fine, it's your fucking prerogative, whatever, whatever. I just don't agree. You're missing out on a great fucking movie, a fun movie, original. How else do I talk about this without spoiling this movie? Just, and it's a quick watch. Like, by the time it gets rolling, that was the cool thing too, because if you're a fan of late night, like, it really does feel, it's about that length. The movie's 93 minutes after you figure the opening narration and documentary type that is narrated by Michael Ironside, by the way, which I didn't realize that. I was just checking that out now because the voice sounded familiar. Obviously known for Scanners and other films. But once it gets going, it's about the length of a real late night show. And they do some fucking twisted shit, obviously. But they keep it suspenseful. You're engaged in it. As I say, they play with your expectations a bit. And I had a lot of fun with it. I had a lot of fun with it. Looking forward to watching it again when it does hit Shudder. And I'll definitely be picking it up on good old physical media when it comes out. I highly recommend it. If you could catch it in theaters, I would definitely try to catch it in theaters, though. Because even though, like, the subject matter of it being a TV show, and that would, you know, work on television, watching it at home, obviously, I think there was something cool about watching it in the theater with people hearing their reactions. Nobody knew what the fuck was going on. Like, you're watching it, and when the batshit crazy shit starts happening, you're like, and you hear the other gasps from the other audience members. That was cool. I also think it was like seeing it late at night. Like now it's fucking 1 in the morning and I'm fucking shot. And that's why I wanted to record the podcast while I was all fresh in my mind. But seeing it late was cool too. And they probably did that on purpose. They were like, all right, if we're going to do one screening in these theaters, 10:30 at night, fine. Because that's like the time that a late night show would come on, 11:30 or whatever. So it was cool to see it like that. So I recommend if you could see it, if you're able to see it, Late Night with the Devil, Late Night at the Movies, I think you'll enjoy it. Try not to fucking spoil the movie for yourself. Just go in blind. If you've never even seen any trailers or anything, don't even watch them. Just go in and just get taken away because it's a fun ride. It's a fun little ride, and it definitely smells of cult classic. This is definitely something I can see people going back to year after year. I also like the marketing campaign. Like other than the trailers, the poster is really cool. Very Pink Floyd "Wish You Were Here" album cover with David Desmalchin being like on fire and shit like that, and very 70s looking. Cool. I love these. I love these throwback movies. And you know, sometimes with these Shudder is cool. I have Shudder, and like there are a lot of original horror movies that come to that. You know, some are hit, some are miss. You know, some of them stink of that straight to video kind of straight to streaming kind of thing, but this didn't have that. I was a little worried about that too. Thinking like maybe it wasn't gonna have you know that movie feel, but it's cool. It's cool. It works, and as I said, doesn't have that cheap feel. Good effects. Good effects. As I'm thinking about it, good effects. Throwback. Remind me also like felt a little bit. I mean, obviously some fucking fucked up version, but felt a little bit like Twilight Zone-y, if that makes any sense. And when you watch it, it felt like it was like a fucking Twilight Zone episode. And this host was like, tonight's episode of the Twilight Zone. A Mr. What the hell's his name? I'm gonna do a bad fucking. I'm gonna do my Rod Serling right now. A Mr. Jack Delroy, a host of a late night show called the Night Owls, or whatever the hell. That was my takeaway. Felt a little bit like a Twilight Zone. I could see a version of this as a Twilight Zone episode, but yeah, definitely highly recommend Late Night with the Devil. Go see it because it's good horror. I'm gonna recommend it to people. I'm gonna recommend it. You gotta spread the word. Other than that, I did watch Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire. Again, I did watch it again, and I figured I said it in the last podcast. I liked it. I know there were some weaknesses. I figured I'm gonna get into. I'm not gonna get deep down the rabbit hole, but I'm gonna talk a little bit about spoilers for Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire. So if you haven't seen Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire and you don't want to be spoiled, you should probably shut this podcast off very soon. You could shut it off and you go check out the previous episode where I talked about Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire, and you know, I didn't get into the spoilers of that. And I also talked about Roadhouse, the remake with Jake Gyllenhaal. So go check that out. But yeah, we're gonna get into it. So watching it again, and I've said this plenty of times, especially with movies that I'm hyped for, franchises, the expectation sometimes is what kills, you know, the movie. You know, you go in and you're expecting the greatest movie in the world, and not necessarily that I was expecting the great, but just the hype of like, ooh, what is it gonna be? Where the new character's gonna be? Where the old character's gonna be? It could fuck up your opinion on a movie. And I think that definitely affected me a little bit. You know, I was expecting a movie, a certain movie in my head. Overall, though, I do like this movie. I do like it does go by fast. I realized that it went by a lot faster now that I've seen it. Some of the characters, listen, Camille Nunjani, Kunanjani, whatever the hell his name is, his character feels a little bit like it's from a different movie. You know, we've had the Keymaster and the fucking whatever the fuck in this movie in Ghostbusters. You've had that stuff, but his character, the fire guy, whatever the hell he's called, it felt a little bit Nadim, I think his name was. felt a little bit like it was from a different movie. The shooting the flames around, that's one of those things I didn't like, because I did hint at stuff I didn't like in the spoiler-free podcast. Another thing that kind of like I didn't like was the ghost girl that McKenna Grace's character starts having a little bond with. It led into the villain. If you've seen the movie, she's working with the villain, so it ends up paying off. But in the beginning, when they were introducing this character, and it felt out of place. It felt like weird. It felt a little bit like Casper-y, and I fucking love Casper, which Dan Aykroyd pops up in as Ray Stantz, by the way. But it felt a little out of place. And until they reveal that she is in cahoots with the fucking horned ghost, whatever the hell his name was, it felt off to me. But seeing it now the second time, I accept it. I still didn't love it. I still felt it didn't really feel like Ghostbustery. But I accept it a little bit more. But the things I did enjoy the second time round, which I don't think I appreciated as much, was just the, even though there's not too many of them, they don't lead the whole movie, but the legacy characters, the interactions they have together. There's a good scene with Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson where they're talking about, golden years and being older, and they do a good job, even though, I said it when I watched the movie too, like, there's a lot of characters, and they kind of jump around a lot. They do a pretty good job, in my opinion, watching it on the second time, of managing all those characters. Yes, some of the characters feel out of place. Yes, some of the plot devices feel out of place, but I think they do a good job. I also like the dilemma that Paul Rudd and Carrie Coon have with, Paul Rudd taking on this fatherly figure to the kids. Peck, as I said, Walter Peck, it's cool seeing him. He doesn't have much to do other than, point his finger and say you're doing the wrong thing. It feels a little cheesy at times. But yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy it, man. The second time, I was like, now, getting all that shit out of the way that I didn't like and knowing where it went. The people, I don't know, the people that are really hating on the movie, I don't know what you're expecting with a Ghostbusters movie. I mean, it's, listen, the first one is the crowning achievement, right? The second one, people bash it. As I said, I grew up with the movie. I love it. Afterlife is good. It's a little bit of a repetition in the third act. And then you got this one. I think they take all the characters, they bring them back to New York. It works pretty good. I'm happy with it. I think I feel better about it than I did the first time. Because I was kind of questioning it. I was kind of sitting there going, well, I didn't like some of this stuff. But overall, good. Listen, they jam shit down your throat. They jam the fucking marshmallow man down your throat. They jam the library ghost down your throat. The library ghost, it feels a little bit more organic, I guess, because they're in the library and it's not a long scene, but it was also a member berries kind of thing. But overall, Ghostbusters, I like it. It's just some of the shit that doesn't work. But it didn't kill the movie for me. It didn't kill the movie for me. I'm still looking forward to what they're going to do next. I know they're going to do more. I know they're going to do a cartoon on Netflix, apparently, maybe like the real Ghostbusters. I'm down for it. I'm down for it. There's keep making the games, keep making the toys, keep making the fucking the merchandise. I'm in it. I'm in it. It doesn't have to, there's got to be like a limit to, the bar of what a Ghostbusters movie is going to be. I don't know how high people set the bar. I thought the ghost was pretty cool. It was something different than, rehashing Gozer and all that shit again. So I think I stand by how I felt pretty much the first time, but I feel actually a little better. There was a lot going on. There's a lot to process when you first watch a movie like this too, because as I said, you have the expectation, you have all these characters being thrown at you, then you're like, ooh, there's Bill Murray, ooh, there's Dan Aykroyd, ooh, there's Ernie Hudson, and then you're trying to focus on new characters. I appreciated it more. Bill Murray, he's good in it. There's a lot of cut stuff, it seems like, because there's stuff in the trailers, even before I saw a teaser trailer, and there's like lines of dialogue with Bill Murray. There's a photo I saw with Bill Murray and Paul Rudd like having a close conversation. That's not in the film, so I'm looking forward to the Blu-ray to see deleted scenes. They were probably cut for the best though, because at 2 hours, I think it's a good pace. It doesn't overstay its welcome too much, because that would have been even more of a problem, I think, if this movie was like 2 hours and 20 minutes, and then I'm sitting there like, how fucking long is this Ghostbusters movie gonna be? So yeah, overall, I think it works. I'm satisfied with it. I could see the flaws in it, definitely, but there's fucking flaws in every Ghostbusters movie, and you sit there, you could pick apart all those movies. Other than the first one, you could pick apart all those movies. But yeah, Late Night with the Devil, definitely recommend it. As I said, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. If you haven't seen it, let me know what you think about it. I don't know. You're on the same page as me. Did you hate it? Did you love it? Whatever. Let me know. This is the Movie Thoughts Podcast. And if this is the first time you're listening, welcome. This is how it goes. Ranting, raving, fun times, right? Check out the other episodes. As I said, check me out on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Dom Solo Reels, where I post some funny stuff. Like, subscribe, rate, review, iTunes, Spotify, all that fun stuff. And check me out on the other podcast I do with my friend Ryan, the Rambo Podcast. It's a long road where we talk about Rambo, Sly, Rambo cartoons, and Frank Stallone, of course. And that's about it. Thanks for listening, and have a good night.